Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Never take your heart health for granted. For just $99, you can get a complete screening and know your risks. Call 601-249-5198 to schedule your Happy Healthy Heart screening at Southwest Mississippi Regional Medical Center.
I'm Steve Azar, and I'm on the other side of the microphone, meaning I'm asking the questions this time, and oh, have mercy for the airwaves. I spent 20 years in Music City, wrote and made some hits, traveled the world, and then moved my family back to the birthplace of American music and where the magnolia trees prosper. And now every time I put my feet on Mississippi soil, when I'm off the road, well, I'm at peace. On this show, it's all about hearing the story straight from the mouths of the friends I've made along the way, their journey to success. Heck, there might be someone on, I don't even know, but you know how us Mississippi types are. We tend to take well to new company. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them. I'm Steve Azar.
It's just like that muddy river, moving slow. Ain't no worries, it's how life goes, baby. In a Mississippi Minute. That's right.
Hey folks, time for another In a Mississippi Minute. Very excited about my guest today, as he is on for the 8th time in 7 years. That's pretty good. 8 days a week, baby. Anyway, reminding you before I get started that my good friends down there in Macon, Mississippi, they make superior catfish. There's catfish. There's superior catfish. If you're going to have it, you know you want it produced in Mississippi. Go to superiorcatfish.com and visit mississippi.org. You know what I say? You know, it sounds like a song to me. One day I'm just going to write it. But those folks are great down there. A road trip awaits you, and you'd be proud of your Mississippi. All right, I love this man and having him on my show. He's got a phenomenal podcast, Finding Your Summit. We'll talk about that in a minute, but always love catching up. He was just here on Delta Soil at the Delta Soul. I struggle with that word soul, by the way. Anyway, he was here and giving of his time like he always does, coming down for our charity event. He's one of the highlights, one of the guys that sticks out. Even though we don't see each other much, we talked about that before we got on the air. He's there doing his thing and making a big impact for us all the way from, well, he grew up in Washington State, but he's in Sun Valley, Idaho now, and he makes that long trip down here, and I really appreciate it. From a standout and prolific football college career at the University of Washington, way up in the Pacific Northwest, where he was enshrined in their Hall of Fame. Congratulations, of course. And to his NFL career, catching the rock all over the field, you know, from some of the most NFL prolific quarterbacks way down here in New Orleans, all the way to the Oakland Raiders, now Las Vegas Raiders. That set the stage for his next feats, climbing all 7 summits, which he did accomplish. In that documentary, Searching for the Summit, which chronicles that crazy ride and trip. It was an amazing journey for him with NFL Films 360. They did win an Emmy Award for that film. It's sitting on his desk right now. It looked like it needs to be like in a glass case. It's just kind of hanging out next to his coffee. And you guys can't see it, but I can. But humble is the man. He recently was back on our Delta Soil, like I said. And I said, hey, Mark, we got to talk about Finding Your Summit. Who's been on your show lately? We got to catch up. What was better about the Delta Soul than last year? And I know your Instagram rocks and how you keep in shape and what's your workout routine. I want to get into the whole, just the whole ditty with my pal, the great Mark Pattison. What's up?
How you doing, buddy?
Struggling with your interview this morning. I'm eating oatmeal right now and having coffee with you. So good morning.
Well, hey, you know what? It's coffee talk. That's what it is. Yeah. And let me just give you a little plug too. Saturday night, post the game, I hadn't eaten all day, but you know what I did do? I stopped by the house at the very end. And at the end of the day, I had some catfish, and I got to tell you what, man, it tasted good. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's crazy. My buddy Tweety, you know, I wrote that song Catfish Christmas back in 2000, maybe.
I know it. Yeah.
2001 from a party that we used to have the party for the music industry. And, you know, he's a catfish nutritionist and biologist out for the federal government down here in Stoneville, Mississippi. And it's what he's done his whole life. And besides knowing everything about a catfish and trying to help it become more nutritional for us and fend off foreign territory, because they're competing with our market, right? He's big and responsible for trying to help make it as economical as possible, because we have some insane, crazy people that want to put foreign fish in that there's no really rules, you know, FDA rules or whatever the rules they have, that they, it's like home field advantage for us is given away from overseas because you don't know what's going on. But over here, they watch you like, you know, they have the eyes on you and you have all these rules to follow. So it's tough on us. And I think that's the best way to explain what I've been listening to over the years. But he's very responsible for the nutrition of the catfish and how affordable it can be. For
the
us.
Only thing that you, yeah, but the only thing you're missing was some tater.
You like a little tater tot? What are you talking about?
No, not a tater tot. I'm talking about tater sauce.
Oh, tater sauce. Oh, yeah. Tartar sauce.
Tartar sauce. I had nothing to dip my tartar, my catfish in.
Wait. You didn't have ketchup. I'm a ketchup guy in hot sauce.
Hey, you know what? I'm ketchup all the way. There was no ketchup on the table.
What is just going on?
I don't know. You just started early.
You started early.
Let me just tell you this. Well, I'm just going when all the food was on the table. I can tell you this to everybody's listening. Anybody who has not attended the Delta Soul Steve Azar golf tournament is missing out. It is one of the best events I've ever been to. It's my fourth year in a row. I love going to this thing. They cap it off with a fish fry. And the only thing that was missing was my ketchup, and my tater sauce. And that was it.
You're cracking me up. Well, you know what? I heard about that, and I heard that our friend Ginger Purvis, shout out to her, my pal Ken Purvis at Guarantee Bank, love you guys. She had to go get ketchup and tartar sauce. So there, you're right. You came, and we realized that was missing. Yep. I heard about that like 2 days later, and I was going like, that's awful. But, you know, I was trying to avoid it. So, but, you know, that conversation.
No, look, at the end of the day, I'll tell you another thing you guys did, too, is all the people. I'm talking about the fans that show up and pay, the sponsors to these different events. I've met so many wonderful people. And the people that you had me paired with were just, you know, the best. The CEO of UPS and the head coach of Mississippi State basketball women's team, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's good. You got to know. I knew you knew David Abney, but I didn't know you just met Coach Purcell, right?
Yeah, Sam. He's great. We had it going on, you know, all the great energy on the course, but just, you know, people are so grateful and kind and wonderful. And, you know, it's not about, you know, me playing football a long time ago or climbing crazy mountains. It's just about people being people and everybody puts their pants on the same way.
Well, at some point you put your pants on a little different from most of us. I just want you to know that, because you had to protect yourself coming up the middle and catching passes fearless back in your day. Hey, so let's talk about this. I was reading something on an interview that somebody did on you, and then they were celebrating with 40 mile per hour winds and becoming snowblind in your left eye. You reached the top of the world, said Patterson. So your most challenging days in football versus climbing Mount Everest.
Yeah, you know, that's actually a great, it's a little bit of an apple and an orange. I mean, the biggest, I think that and not every mountain is necessarily like this, but everyone presents danger at some level. The higher you go, the more elements they are. In football, you know, you're out there and you're grinding through, and it's changed a lot. You know, way back in the day when I was playing, you'd have 2 days, 6 weeks of two-a-days during the summer in these really hot spots. And it was tough. It was a tough mental grind. It was a tough physical grind. And it's just, again, that capacity of really what's going on between the ears, being able to make it through and pace yourself at the same time, competing at the highest level, never giving up, never relenting. And with mountains like Mount Everest, you know, you're dealing with all the elements that are unforeseen. You don't know when you're standing there, and every single day there'd be an avalanche coming down, and you just hope that you weren't in the way of that. But the net is just like my tent mate from Antarctica found out in 2019 is still up there. As he passed away, he died. I stepped over him. So typically, every once in a blue moon, you'll hear of somebody in football that would just have a cardiac arrest or something from heat or just whatever the circumstance is. But you're more or less, you're not going to die from football, right? When you're on the mountain, it's a life and death thing. And decisions that you make about understanding that mandatory is going down, mandatory is not getting to the top, is so crucial and important to your decisions as you make your way up this mountain and you still want to compete, just like you did way back when, you're not going to give up, just like you didn't do a long time ago. But at the same day, same time, decisions like that, if you push it too far, can take it to the other side.
I want to talk about, did you ever find a point where you sort of drew on a particular time in your life when you got to the place and you may have wanted to turn back? You know, and that happens with goal setting in your life and your career, and when emotionally or mentally or physically, you're a little bit out of sorts, you know? And I know you had all the challenges at one time with Mount Everest. We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. I sounded like a radio guy just then, didn't I, Mark? Other side of the break. Pretty good terminology.
You sounded really good.
Come on. I'm with my pal, Mark Pattison. Climbed all 7 summits, won an Emmy for it. Well, he won an Emmy for the film, but if he doesn't do it. And he also raised a bunch of money for epilepsy awareness through Higher Ground, which is a national nonprofit organization in Sun Valley. I want to talk about that as well. But first, we're talking catfish. I got Mark all worked up. I promise you, we got tartar sauce and ketchup next time and hot sauce. I prefer Crystal hot sauce or Louisiane, but we'll talk about that after the break as well. SuperiorCatfish.com. They're my folks over there in Macon, Mississippi, doing it right. And visit Mississippi.org. Oh, baby, there is a road trip that waits. You're going to fall in love with Mississippi all over again. I'm Steve Azar.
You soldiers finally coming home.
Water, and we're in too deep.
As I stumble into a Mississippi Minute, it's one of those days coming off our big charity event, the Delta Soul Celebrity Golf. Folks, 200-plus people from probably 22 to 25 states, I think we figured out. I could be wrong there. I'm usually wrong, but just go with me and just believe me, is because I'm believing it. And a couple hundred-plus more from local area. We've been raising money for the Arts for Kids down here for over 13 years now. And we are very proud of our team and our celebs and our sponsors and appreciative of all the time, money, support they give to keep the arts alive. As I say down here, you take away our arts, you take away our farms, we basically got nothing. So don't do it. Anyway, we're going to try to keep it injecting the arts into the kids. And you never know who the next kingfish is, because he had to have that moment. Speaking of kingfish, let's talk Superior Catfish. Mark, good. That was a good segue again. I'm on a roll.
Before you went to break, I was just thinking some of your, brainchild for new concepts on your songs. The title, somewhere in there, ketchup and tartar.
Come on. Oh, yeah. Look, anytime you write about food or it's condiments, you win. I got more songs about food. We'll talk about those in a minute. Superior Catfish, it doesn't need anything. Just go to SuperiorCatfish.com. You know why? Because it's produced here in Mississippi. Come on and visit Mississippi.org. Man, I'm telling you, Mark and I will play Dancing Rabbit one day at Pearl River Resort. It's going to happen. We'll spend a glorious weekend there. Our wives will get spot up and, you know, we'll get all these brownie points. What do you think? Challenges. So can you tell me when you just talk about walking over your, what do you call them? Not your Sherpa, but one of your.
It was my Temme. He was American from Salt Lake City. Yeah.
From where? I'm sorry.
Salt Lake City.
And he passed away on the mountain.
He got to the very top in 2019, raised his hand, and immediately fell over to his death. And he still is up on the Hillary Step.
Unbelievable. So how were you able to handle that part of it?
You know, again, I don't want to compare this to, you see a lot of dead bodies up there. It's so flipping dangerous. I mean, the sheerness as you get closer to the top and the steepness of, you make one wrong move, you fall off the mountain, you either fall to Tibet or back to Nepal. I mean, it's that sheer. And there's only probably 2 feet wide width as you're going up and trying to navigate through this. And so as you're doing that and you're stepping over dead bodies, you're so consumed about, at least in my case, about just my own survival. And by the way, people talk about the celebration of getting to the top. I got to the top and I was just I was a mess because I hadn't eaten in 3 days. I'd been through a cyclone. I was snow blind. I couldn't communicate to my Sherpa because he was Nepalese. Of course, that's what they speak over there. And at the end of the day, yeah, I've only gone halfway. It's like, you know, I'm going to run out as far as I can. Well, that's great. You know, you can run as far from Greenville to Arkansas, but you still got to turn around and come back home, right? And that's what I knew I was still in for. And so, I mean, I was just like, I was so out of gas when I got there. In my case, Don Cass, my teammate, my tent mate from Antarctica, he got up there, raised his hand, fell over. And they tried to revive him. Never happened.
After all of that, he got up there. He made it. But I got you. The celebration, you don't have any, you're spent. You got nothing left to celebrate. You know, celebration's probably a week later when you recover. Speaking of recovery, what was the recovery time for you?
Months. You know, I lost 35 pounds and you know, there was a mental PTSD component to me too. I mean, every time I'd start talking about it, I just would start welling up and tears would come flowing down my face. And I was so close to death. I can get through it now because it's been a couple of years, you know, since I've been up there. But, you know, I was literally, as I was coming back down, you know, my Sherpa had taken off and my oxygen tank had run out. And so I'm up there, the last guy on the mountain by myself. And I'm literally on my butt, scooting down the mountain, just trying to figure out how, and I'm still a long way from getting back to any kind of safety. I'm trying to figure out how this is all going to happen. And so, you know, all the voices, the angels, talking to you know, the heavens, and if you just give me one more break, and then at the other side, you know, just lay back and take 10 minutes sleep and you recoup and you get up. But I knew that if I did that, going back to my angel, if I did that, I would never wake up again. I mean, that's just the way it is. And that's why a lot of people, you're so exhausted, you just want to take a quick rest and you never wake up.
Do you build like fires on the mountain when you need to stay at night and sleep, or you can't do that?
There is no fires. No,
there's no way, right? There's no way to build like a, yeah, I'm being stupid, aren't I? Well, I mean, I've seen fires.
No, I mean, there's no fires anywhere on the mountain. It just doesn't work like that. So it's just, you know, and another thing I think, Steve, that people don't understand is like, you know, 6 weeks of 2-a-days, at least you're going back and you're having, you know, great food. These are, you know, the Raiders and the Saints, they're providing you great meals. That you can have breakfast, lunch, dinner. You're always in a position where you can be hydrated. You have trainers, you have medical people that are there to help and serve. And on the mountain, you don't have any of those things. And you're on the mountain for 2 months, and 2 months of sleeping on ice and rock at 17,000 feet. You know, I looked at my watch when I was out there teeing off on you know, the hole one, and you're like at 435 feet. I was at 17,500 feet for 2 flipping months on rocks and ice and no heat. And
Two months.
So I'm in a sleeping bag that's rated minus 40. And I'm in there like, you know, just trying to get as comfy as I can.
Did you have your house clean before you left? Like, did you get things in order? I mean, look, you're going to do one of the most dangerous things, talking about your climbing partner passed away. So you're watching all the people that have passed away trying to do this feat. And did you do some will trust? Anything preparation before you went up?
Yeah, it's actually a really good question. I don't think enough people put enough time into that. And it's where mortality, because, you know, you're Steve Azar and you're going out, let's play golf and let's have a golf tournament. Let's go to a fish fry. And you have all these friends, you know, around the world, but specifically in Greenville, Mississippi, you know, that you just call up and you just go do your thing. That's what most people do. And this, before I went, I had to do a lot of prep stuff. You know, I redid my will. I reprepared some different things. I had to make some calls. Jim Mora, you know, I made him my primary of, like, I gave him all my passwords, you know, to all my stuff. Hey, anything happens, so don't call Jim and ask for my passwords, please. But
yeah, you know, yeah, well, no, I'm gonna get him aired here.
Yeah. But it's to your point, you know, you're conscious, and I've made a couple calls to a couple buddies before I left, and I was almost in tears making that call just because, like, I don't know if I'm coming back. You know, this could be a one-way ticket. I don't know. Right. Last year, 17 people died on the mountain. Last year, 17.
How many? 17?
17, yeah.
So this leads me to this question.
Yeah.
I wrote this down. Why did you feel the need to take on these 7 summits? What was it, and when was it? Why was it? You know, you didn't have to do that. You're in great shape anyway. You work out, you do all that. What drove you to deciding to take it on?
You know, I really think there's I was talking to a guy right now, the founder of Expedia and also Zillow, if you know that company.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Rich Barton, and Rich is a great guy. And so I was talking to Rich and I go, like, Rich, how do you come up with these ideas? Like, how would you ever come up with Zillow, right? And how would you ever come up with Expedia? We all use Expedia now. Steve wants to go to some valley,
yeah,
right?
Well, even American Express uses Expedia. I see it sometimes when we book through them.
Yeah, I mean, they're massive, right? They're just gigantic. And he actually bore it out of Microsoft, where he was working at the time. But, you know, what he said is like, how do you challenge your employees to think out of the box and think big, right? Mm-hmm. And the answer that he gave me at the time was like, he sets this thing called a BHAG. I'm like, what the heck is a BHAG? Big, hairy, audacious goals, right? Mm-hmm. So you can't just think about like, hey, I'm going to go run a 10K and something that's tangible. It's something that's so tangible. I'm going to go to, you know, Saturn, like something that's so far out there that you couldn't even imagine like how that's even going to work. And so for me, after going through a rough patch, after my marriage fell apart, I was like, I needed a BHAG. I needed something so massive that this was going to take me beyond my goals. And I was used to goal setting. I had never really stopped working out. And so at the end of the day, I just needed to get to the very tippy top and figure out a goal. So I set the seven summits as the goal, to first NFL player to climb the seven summits around the world, which I was able to accomplish 2 years ago.
And win an Emmy. You know, something's wrong with you, by the way. If something's so wrong with you, it's right. That's what I want you to know. That's how beautiful it is and how courageous you are. And I'm blown away. The more I have these conversations with you, the more I understand, I start to feel some of what you went through. You know, as a songwriter, I'm usually can tap into what you're feeling, but it's taking me a bunch of interviews to really soak in the danger and the emotional toll it took on your body. Anyway, we're going to take a break. I'm going to take some emotional toll right now and fix it with some Superior Catfish. Homegrown in Mississippi, go to superiorcatfish.com and visit mississippi.org. As I say, it's never an afterthought. It should be right there in the front of your minds. Go check it out and plan a road trip, and you're going to be proud of your cool, very cool Mississippi. I'm Steve Azar. $20,000 available for first-time homebuyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Homebuyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time homebuyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
From the Seabrook.
In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Learning more and more about Mark Pattison as I do these shows. Superior Catfish, they don't have to try. They just got it right. Made in Mississippi, produced here. Come on, go to superiorcatfish.com and visit mississippi.org. Man, I've spent a long time with those folks over there. Got to meet one of my dear friends now, Craig Ray, who is the executive director. He was down here at the Delta Soul. That's like a, what do you call that? A tongue twister? Anyway, he's a dear friend of mine. And we've traveled all the way to Liverpool and left a Blues Trail marker there. One of 200 plus. Be proud of your Mississippi. We're talking to a man in Sun Valley, Idaho. He's got his Emmy sitting on his desk, like it's just no big deal. And the interesting thing about Mark Pattison's Emmy is he had to go to hell and all the way to heaven to get it. Go through hell and all the way to heaven to get it. And that is the best analogy. I have to continue to talk to you about this. Also, you raised almost 60 grand for epilepsy awareness. I know that's dear to your heart for a lot of reasons. Higher Ground, a national nonprofit organization based where you live in Sun Valley. Why Sun Valley, by the way? Don't tell me it's as pretty as the Mississippi Delta and Mississippi River. I know that you got no shot there. Okay. I see your Instagram posts. Sunrises look awful when you're up in the morning. The mountains look awful different times of year. I mean, seriously though, you grew up in Washington State. I know you needed some of that, but why did you settle there?
Yeah, it's a good question. And also just, I want to add one more thing. Brad Pitt never won an Emmy. That's number one. And number
two, Brad Pitt's never won an Emmy.
No, I got that over him. And number two is, this is for Best Picture. And I was also nominated for a Best Cinematography, which I did all the film work, which I know nothing about cameras on the mountain. So a lot of times when I see these, I recap. Right now they're having the Tony Awards and things like that. And I look back and people were super proud of just being nominated for an Emmy, right? Because that's an acknowledgement. And if I got that, it would have been good enough. But to have just not only that, but also and then win the Best Picture was truly.
You know, people go to college at big film schools and they train under the greatest film people in the world to be nominated for an Emmy Best Cinematographer. But you know what? They didn't climb Mount Everest and they didn't climb all these mountains you climbed, and they couldn't get that footage from your perspective. And that's the game changer. You know, you think about it, and technology with just you do it with your iPhone. I know you didn't have a big camera you were carrying on your back like a Sony Red.
No, I did it with GoPros and that was it.
Think about that, where we've come, that allows you to document something so daring and something so different, right? And something so real that you can compete with these great filmmakers because of that.
I think, like, at the end of the day, the through line on all this, and I relate this to you too, because I knew you back when you're nothing, right? And I don't mean that as a person. I just mean your musical career, the arc that it has taken, you know, with hits and, you know, you're in demand. You know your craft now, but the similarity between you and me is that we have a love for the game, right? I love the process. And so the similarity, going back to an earlier question you had with the NFL and with climbing mountains, is I winning the game, catching the winning touchdown, that's all great. Standing on top of a peak, that's amazing. But it's every single day before that of being able to train and train and train. And then getting back to your question about Sun Valley, you know, when I was thinking about this, I think I was maybe two mountains in. I had to come back from Russia, which you can no longer go to, by the way. You can no longer climb the Seven Summits.
I came
back from Russia, and there was a moment and an inflection point in my time where, you know, my kids had gone off to college and I could be more mobile. I was now single, and like, what did that mean to me? And so I, to again, be all in and be all committed towards this goal, I needed to be climbing and training every day at 6,000 feet, which is the base here. So I go from 6 to 10,000 feet every single day. So
back up for 1 second with me real quick. That's what I wanted to know. When you were recovery mode, how fast? Because I know you. You're like me. Like, I have to work out 6 days a week, or I feel like, no, even if I get up at 4 a.m. and we're about to fly out, or 3 a.m., I feel like there's a huge void, even if it's 25 minutes, right? And I've got my little routine. If I don't do it, I feel my body, I swear, I'm bothered. So you talking about recovering, how long before you recovered when you could get back at it like you're talking about?
Well, I never stopped, and I don't stop, and I go 7 days a week. And before I flew down to the Delta, I had a 7 o'clock flight, which means I had to be at the airport at 6 a.m., which means I worked out at 4 a.m. to make sure
I love it. This is where we're so much alike.
I know.
Because it's almost like if you don't do it, you can't get your day started.
You know, I see you and Gwen moving to Sun Valley. I just see that so you can work out with Jim Moore and I every single day.
Oh, my gosh. No, y'all work out way too long. I need to teach you the 20-minute steep. And I have a shower and power version that we can talk about. But you don't want to see it.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, you know, I didn't stop. I didn't, you know, I think as much as, and I don't know if your listeners can relate to this, but, you know, when you're working out, there's various levels, obviously. You know, there's yoga and there's Pilates and all these other things. And so for me, I think every morning, like I did this morning, you know, going out and doing my thing for a certain period of time by myself without any distractions, I just get my mind right. So it's more of a mental thing. And I was so mentally damaged from Everest, like the mountain just kicked my ass.
You know, more mental than physical?
Both, because I lost 35 pounds. And so I looked gaunt, and my face had been torn apart when I got out of my tent that morning. And there's a 60 mile per hour wind with these little ice pellets, and it ripped my eye out. And now I was snowblind. the whole side of my face was one big gigantic scab. And I came back, and actually Jim Mora is the one who picked me up in LA, at LAX. And before I came in, I said, I just want you to be prepared that what you're about to walk into and pick up is not the guy that left.
Did y'all have a big embrace? I know how y'all like brothers.
Yeah, no, of course. And, you know, it's
coach,
just like,
the coach was crazy proud of you, wasn't he?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I and I've said this to him. I was able to order another Emmy for him, and I gave it to him as a,
wow,
as a present, because I felt as though that if he hadn't been there, my training partner, it's kind of like in the Rocky, you know, films where you have Carl Weathers, who passed away, who played Apollo Creed, and sure, he spoiled them once they became buddies. You know, he was there to cheer him on and get him up on stage and win those moments. And that's what Jim did for me. You know,
wow.
I hard to keep grinding all the time by yourself, which I do. I'm self-motivated. But when you have a workout buddy like that and he's there, of course, he's back at UConn right now. He's the head coach, football coach, yeah, back there. At that moment in time, he hadn't been hired yet. So every single day we were going at it.
He's a great guy. You guys have had such a great relationship. It stems how far back?
Oh, it's freshman 1980.
And University of Washington?
Yep.
I want to talk about Mark Rippon in a minute. I was getting some, a little bit of mixed signals the other day and misinformation. You said they never, Rippon, when he was at Washington State, never beat you guys. He said, oh, we went 3 out of 5. Okay, what happened? I need to know the truth.
Well, I don't know what he's talking about. All I know is we had an epic battle. You know, he played amazing. We played amazing. You know, at the end of the day, this is my senior year. We ended up number 2 in the country. Playing Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl,
yeah,
and we beat him in a shootout in his home stadium. He went off. He's amazing. By the way, I love Rip, and we have a good jarring session together, and I was so glad. I actually ran into him at the Jim McMahon, who was also at your tournament, golf thing back in, yeah, Super Bowl, and then I was just surprised to me that I saw Rip there, and so just going over and high-fiving, and he, you know, considering how big he got, and, you know, he was the quarterback, MVP, all this other stuff, he's just a wonderful human being. He's just,
sure,
a great, he's gone through his own adversity, but he is just a good dude.
You all, Jim McMahon, you, Corey Miller, well-documented. He's very vulnerable about talking about the mistakes he made in his life. He says it in front of his children. He said he's been on this show a bunch of times. He's teared up, as big as he is. He just lets it all out. You guys all have something in common. You, Mark Rippon. I love seeing all of y'all together. Jim McMahon, Mark Patterson. I'm talking to Mark Patterson, folks. And Mark Rippon. Y'all are all very, very open about the parts of you that were broken and how you've all fought to repair them, how you all got close to not repairing them. I mean, Jim McMahon's talking about his foot now. Let me take a quick break because it's important. So let's talk about real quick, Superior Catfish. That's not an afterthought. It's homegrown in Mississippi. Go to superiorcatfish.com and visit mississippi.org. It is your next road trip. You'll be proud of your Mississippi. I'm on with Mark Patterson, and I'm breaking into my own self. I'll be right back. You guys got to figure out what I mean by that. But yeah, you know what I'm saying. We'll be right back.
Let me home.
$20,000 available for first-time homebuyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guarantee Bank. They offer programs like the Homebuyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time homebuyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guarantee Bank, member FDIC.
Steve Azar, Superior Catfish, right there in Macon, Mississippi. Go to superiorcatfish.com and visit mississippi.org. That's kind of cool sounding. Just trust me. All right, Mark Pattison, we were talking about Jim McMahon right before the break. He was here on at the Delta Soul as well. You, Mark Rippon, first time. He finally realized that there is a route to Greenville, Mississippi from where he lives in Washington State. And he's coming back next year. I'm very excited, he says. And then also, of course, Corey Miller. So we had our, and Pete Shaw was here. Wait a minute, Sterling Sharp was here. I mean, we had Harold Green was here. We had the NFL represented this year with a lot of friends. But Mac has been talking about literally cutting his foot off because of this surgery he had. They got such an infection. And, you know, he is very, 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 very close to military folks. It's his life. It's how what moves him. And I'm telling you, when he meets a soldier, he gives him his cell phone. He goes, "You please call me." And Mac just said, "If they cut my ankle off, I'm going to, you know, they've got great, they've got this cool prosthetic that I could have that one of, you know, some of my military friends have," and da, da, da. And he's talking about that like it's no big deal. Of course, it's a big deal, but that's where he is mentally with this challenge of his ankle. You guys all have a certain toughness about you that I don't know where you get it, but you dig so far somewhere in that body of y'all's. It has a place that common folk just don't, they don't tap into. Maybe everybody's got it, but what is it about you guys who have gone through this career in sport and had such a successful career like you all have? And what the heck is it you're drawing upon that allows you to fight through the toughest of obstacles now?
It's a really good question. You know, at the end of the day, you're talking about the 1% of the 1%, right? And so, and you could say the same thing to a degree in terms of musicians who can actually.
Yeah, but we're not, ours is necessarily physical. There's a different deal, but you're right.
No, I get all that, but you're talking about both physically and mentally. And I think there's a combination of things. And, you know, a lot of times when people see stars out there, and the Jim McMahons and Rips and other guys, you know, they think that their life is golden and, you know, it's shiny and nothing goes wrong. And I think there's a lot that goes wrong. I think it's coaches that help them along the way. It's like all of us, success leaves clues. Mentors have always been a big deal to me, to look toward other people who have done it and successful. For me back in the day when I was playing, Steve Largent was a big name and a big star who played for the Seattle Seahawks, ultimately the All-Pro. The guy was super slow, and how he did it was amazing. But at the end of the day, he was mentally strong, and he found a way. He figured out a way, and he had people believing in him that enabled him to go there. So I think it's that mental toughness that you develop over time on how to deal with events and circumstances. And then you have the best of the best competition coming up and smacking you in the head. And the amount of jarring and fights and everything else around the field, that it's either a sink or swim. You win or you lose. And it's really simple. And so I think a lot of those guys that you just mentioned are all guys who have found success because they found a way to win and be consistent and a commitment to excellence.
Do you think that we're capable as you're working out? And what I know you have to do a little more probably as we get older. Can we fool Father Time?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I'm doing that right now. I'm, you know, look, I, you know, I'm 62, and I not only am I wearing the same tux I got married in that I still have, my shape is like, my weight is identical as when I was playing for the Saints. You know, there's nothing. But again, it's discipline and it's hard. You know, I have this saying called hard things are hard. You know, if it was easy, if easy was easy, then everybody would be doing it. But because like, oh my God, you're going to go climb another mountain today and going straight up. And, you know, I've got the Eiger coming up here in a couple months, which is more scary than the mountain I did last year, which is the Matterhorn, which is like literally going inverted. And it scared the hell out of me. And I knew it was going to be a grind. I knew it was going to be awful. But I just said, you know what? I just need to get from here to there and I'll get on the other side of it. And then I can relax. Right. But that's all you got to do is mindset, put those goals in and make sure
the game plan. I like it. Well, I know that there's a whole lot more to talk about, and I just want you to know this. I'm going to say this. You have become one of my favorite people on earth. I promise you that. And I know that this Delta soul, we didn't have a I'm never going to get that right. The soul's still in me. We just don't have time to spend time together, but Gwen and I are making a road trip to Sun Valley. I promise you in this next year, this calendar year, we're going to be there.
I'm sending you out an invite.
Okay, I'm in. We're in. We can't say no, or you could say I'm never coming back there. You know, I heard that roads go both ways and airlines go both ways. Anyway,
They do that, and that's one. Number two is we've got amazing golf places here, and number three, we've got amazing spa places here. It was Sun Valley has been rated the number one ski resort in America the last 4 years in a row.
I don't even want to play golf. I want to come eat and partake in the culture and the food and the I'll get up and go wherever you're going to go in the morning. It's going to really, I got to get ready for that because I'm built. My workout's different. If I took you on my workout, you would laugh. And you go, what is that? But okay, I'm going to do my workout with you. You're going to do your workout with me, and we're going to go, and then we're going to see if we can survive them both. I'm worried about me. I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about
as long as you bring some catfish, I'm good with that.
You got it. And speaking of catfish, Mark Pattison, he's been my guest today, folks. Check his Instagram out. Check his podcast out, Finding Your Summit. We never even got to talk about it, right? But it's a great podcast. It's fantastic. The guests he has on is ridiculous. So really check it out and check Mark Pattison, his Instagram out, because you get to watch him work out in the morning and do what he's doing. And he's very inspiring. You are very inspiring. Superior Catfish, inspired catfish, if I can say so myself. Go to superiorcatfish.com and visit mississippi.org. Oh, I love being part of that team as a music and culture ambassador of your great state. I'm Steve Azar. Mark, you're the best.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate coming on.
I'm Steve Azar. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them, where you can take your sweet time.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.